This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, July 20th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Journalist and former Telluride resident Danny Fenster has been in a Burmese prison since his arrest back on May 24th. Now he reportedly has contracted COVID-19. The Detroit Free Press, newspaper of his hometown, reports Fenster has been charged with incitement and faces a potential three-year prison sentence. The military government that took power in a coup in February has tried to silence independent news media by withdrawing licenses and arresting dozens of journalists. Fenster has an attorney and has been able to speak with his family by telephone. His next hearing is scheduled for next week. The highly transmissible Delta variant of COVID-19 is showing up not only in Mesa County, but also now in Delta County. Local pulmonologist Dr. Sarah Knutson is raising concerns about the correlation between low vaccination rates in the county and the rising number of those getting sick and being hospitalized. Delta County Independent reports 5 new cases in Delta County as of last week, while Mesa County had 55 new cases. Despite working with the state and other providers to make COVID-19 vaccines available, Delta County vaccination rates are almost stagnant. During the last county commissioner meeting, it was noted the vaccination rate grew recently by a mere 4% overall. Dr. Knutson said patients with the Delta variant are harder to care for, with more severe symptoms making them difficult to oxygenate and ventilate. 99% of U.S. COVID deaths are from unvaccinated individuals. And the Olathe sweet corn harvest is underway. Tuxedo Corn, founded in Olathe, is in its 35th year of production. The Denver Post reports they calculate this year's harvest will produce an estimated 750,000 boxes of the trademark sweet corn at 48 ears per box. That's 36 million ears of corn headed to consumers in 30 states. NOAA says Colorado is likely to experience a La Nina weather cycle this fall and winter. Amy Hutton Marsh from our partner station KD&K spoke to state climatologist Dr. Russ Schumacher and started by asking him the difference between La Nina and El Nino.
The El Nino La Nina cycle, or sometimes we call it ENSO for the El Nino Southern Oscillation, it's basically a pattern of the ocean temperatures in the Pacific Ocean that flip back and forth over time. And so when it's El Nino, the ocean waters near the coast of South America are especially warm and then cool over in the Western Pacific. And then La Nina is the opposite. So it's cool near South America and warm, you know, near Indonesia and the Philippines and sort of in that area. Why that's important is it's one of the biggest factors that influences, for example, where the jet stream will be, and it's most prominent in the fall through the winter. The changes in those ocean temperatures help to determine where the jet stream is going to go over the fall and winter and spring, and then that, you know, in some way will often affect our weather patterns here in the interior of the United States.
El Nino was present this summer, and now suddenly it's shifting to La Nina. And we may be getting some wetter weather in the West.
So actually this past winter was La Nina conditions through April or so. And then we've been back in neutral conditions now for the last, you know, few months. But right, the climate models and the forecasts are pointing towards going back into La Nina starting this fall. And so how that is going to affect conditions here this summer, the influences of El Nino or La Nina in the summer are not all that strong. Other factors are kind of bigger players in the summer, and especially, you know, how the North American monsoon sets up as to whether the precipitation picks up or not over the summer. But there's some indication that having a second La Nina back-to-back winters is especially concerning for drought conditions. It hasn't happened that many times historically, but some of those years when we have had this double dip La Nina, where it's La Nina and then it kind of goes back to neutral but then returns to La Nina again, have been some of the worst drought years. But the influence that El Nino La Nina cycle has on weather here in Colorado is not super strong. The way it usually plays out is to the north of, you know, northern tier of states in a La Nina year would be relatively cool and wet. The southern tier of states would be relatively warm and dry. And then we're kind of in the middle, and it can kind of go either way. But, you know, it only determines our weather so much. We were in La Nina this past winter, which many times in the past has been really good for snow in the northern mountains, but that's not what we saw this past winter.
How much does global warming or the changing climate, how much of an influence on the La Nina, El Nino cycle does it have?
I think that's still a big question that's out there in terms of how the warmer climate is going to affect whether we end up in one of those phases more often or less. Generally, when El Nino happens, the entire planet is warmer on average than during La Nina conditions. But as the planet has just continued to warm, now, you know, we see where some of the La Nina years when you would normally expect the global average temperature to be somewhat lower than in other years is still, you know, been very high.
So is this prediction of La Nina to begin in the fall, is this good news for Western Colorado, or is this wishful thinking because we're so tired of dry, hot, smoky weather?
Yeah, I would not call it good news, you know, especially if we have, you know, the second year of La Nina in a row tends not to be great for drought conditions in our part of the country. But of course, it's pretty far away to be looking at what the fall and winter are going to hold. So in the near term, you know, I think the bigger concern is going to be on what happens with the monsoon this summer. The last 3 years, the monsoon in western Colorado has been terrible, hot and dry, and most extremely so last year with the fire season. The indications are pointing to our south that the monsoon is already starting to ramp up. Arizona and New Mexico have been wet, and they look like they're going to be getting quite a bit of monsoon storms here. Question is how far north that rainfall creeps, and it's not totally clear how much relief we're going to get from that. But in a normal year, when we get to late July into August, and you should have, you know, the periodic thunderstorms and some heavy rain in there to help, but we haven't had much of that the last 3 years.
Before I say thank you very much, I'm just wondering if you can comment on the heat wave in the Pacific Northwest and in Canada. This is unprecedented.
Yeah. In my business, we're used to seeing extremes and studying extremes and big fluctuations and all those sorts of things. And this is kind of so far off the scale of the kind of thing that's ever happened before that it was pretty remarkable and pretty shocking.
Amy Haddon Marsh from our Rocky Mountain Community Radio partner station, KD&K, speaking to state climatologist Dr. Russ Schumacher. That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.